Hello. We're waiting for you only.
Yeah. AC, there is AC. First picture. No last picture. No last picture.
Have a receiver. Tea. Yeah,
wait.
For birthday, no? Yes.
I noticed that when they are coming out from out, the water is like, the people who are coming up are falling in, they are falling in the sewage. Which is down only.
Sure.
That's bad state.
So a lot of people died, no?
22.
22.
And injured.
It's like 4-5 bodies are down. Rest. On top of that, people are all are going, nobody is moving, that they're going.
Even if those bodies could have survived, they will go with the sun.
It's like rest.
End of the day, man. Yeah, we are learning revelation.
Is that this morning?
Yeah. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sweet loving Father. Here we are on another Friday given to us by you, Lord. At this appointed time, this appointed place, in this new venue tonight, this afternoon, Lord, we are gathered to hear about more about you, Lord. We are gathered to know what your book, the Revelation, is going to reveal to us, Lord, slowly but surely. Today, as we celebrate the feast of your archangels, Lord, we remember them in a very special way and ask for their intercession, because the book of Revelation has so many instances where they are involved, O Lord. And truly, O Lord God, they are there to help us, for those who believe, O Lord. Thank you for these mystical bodies, O Lord God, that you sent whenever we call out, O Lord. They are your messengers, Lord, helping us in our walk of life. Sweet loving Jesus, once again, nothing can change your blood. That most precious blood we sprinkle upon this place, Lord. Every one of us gathered here, Lord. For those who may be on the way out in, Lord God. And for all those who could not make it somehow, for some reason or the other, Lord. And we pray for protection, Lord, against all the principalities of this world, against everything that is not of thy kingdom, Lord. We move out, Lord God, and surround us with your angels and archangels, Lord, so that we may have an uninterrupted voice of yours, Lord. We may hear your voice clearly, Lord. And sweet Holy Spirit, this is your time.
Amen.
We are all here longing to hear from you. I am just your mouthpiece, Lord. Speak, O Lord, so that we may listen, we may understand, and we may grow in your word. Teach us not only to hear the word, Lord, but teach us how to implement it, how to do your word, Lord, so that our lives will never be the same again. And we will be a different people, O God, that you need us to be to before we come to you, Lord. Mother Mary, continue to be with us, guide us, bless us, protect us, and keep us under your mantle of blue now and always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon, sisters and brother. Welcome to another session. Last week, a recap. What did we do last week? We are on Revelations 1, chapter 1, verse 14 onwards. We are on that. Where the titles of the Lord are given. John, in his great wisdom, has compiled all the titles in one paragraph. And as we said last time, that we will see each of these titles being addressed to each church when the letters go out. We saw that his head and his hair were white, and white like wool and snow. Okay, and that attributes Jesus's, what is the attribute? Jesus's purity and eternal existence. He was from the past and he will be until the future. And he is pure, like wool, like snow. And even in his word, he continuously says, though your sins are scarlet, I will make them lie white as snow. Then his next attribute was his eyes were as flame of fire. We also recalled the various instances where Jesus' eyes have penetrated. It is said that those who have seen Jesus, even now when he comes in visions, you know, nobody can miss that, nobody can say that, I wonder if you are Jesus or no, because he has got such penetrable eyes that once you see him, you cannot forget him. And here is John, yeah, who has seen. John was on Mount Tabor at a transfiguration time. Yeah, there's only three apostles. They were looking at Jesus, and you can imagine, and were so afraid to see him in that state. But then immediately what Jesus says, fear not, okay? Fear not, and he comes back to his thing. But those penetrable eyes. Then to the multitude, also he was looking. Without looking, he doesn't thing. But you can imagine when he looked at people's eyes, what must have been. That one look was enough for people to change. The one look was enough for him to touch the hearts of people. Yeah, and very often he has done it. We have also seen that he has got various modes of looking as well. At that rich man who refused to follow him and give up because of his wealth, he looked at him with love and pity, you know. My God, this guy is so good and still wealth has overtaken him. For the other, the widow whose son was being carried away, that was a look of compassion. Even before the widow could ask him, she raised him from the dead. When Peter disowned him, the cock crew, one look of Jesus and Peter's eyes met, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. That was his repentance. Yeah, and so on and so forth, we find instances of Jesus' looks. Now today we come to another attribute of his. His feet were like beaten brass, as if it had been refined by fire in a furnace. Now this, once again, as we know, that John is fully revealing to us things from the Old Testament. He's so soaked in the Old Testament that everything in vision also, he relates to the Old Testament. Now this particular sentence also comes in the Old Testament in Daniel. Daniel, his feet, you know, the divine person who came to with a message to in Daniel's dream, also had this same attribute. His feet were like the gleam of burnished bronze. That is in Daniel chapter 10 verse 6. Okay, in Ezekiel again, there are some angelic beings which come in Ezekiel, and the same description is given. Their feet sparkled like burnished bronze. Ezekiel 1 chapter 7. Okay. Now what must these things attribute to Jesus? What are they showing us? The brass stands for strength. God is strong, you know, and he will never, his strength and his steadfastness is what bronze relates to. And the shining rays relates to his swiftness. He's very swift, yeah, and he's so swift, he's very fast to come to our help, and is very fast to punish sin, and God doesn't get along at all, right? So his brass feet shows us that he's strong and steadfast. Yeah, so all these attributes give us hope, that and that is why he's looking at it in the dream, in the vision, and he's finding this Jesus of today, you know. At that particular time, and he is ready in this armor. No longer, he's finished, he died on the cross, he's finished, he's come up. Now this is his personality, and it will remain until he meets us. Yeah. So all these things John has purposely is writing for the persecuted Christians, whether it is during his time or whether it is during our time now. So we know that God is ready there. Jesus is ready with his brass feet, which shows that he's strong. Nothing can overcome him, which shows that he's steadfast. Even if a mother forgets you, but I will never forget you. Those are his promises. His steadfast love. However, he doesn't relate to us according to our sins, right? That's only happen on the judgment day. But until judgment day, he relates to us, however sinful we may be. But his eyes are eyes of mercy and compassion. No, let not whatever you and I know where is our extent of sinning, but let not that sin stop us from calling out to Jesus. Jesus, come. Peter was full of sin when he was drowning into that water. He was not saved that time, but he said, Jesus, come, and Jesus picked him up. Even after that, he betrayed Jesus. Okay, so when the devil will say, oh, you, can you call Jesus? Look at your sins. You are sinning every day, and you are still going to call Jesus. Will he going to listen to you? This is what the devil does. And he destroys our mind, and he gives us a wrong notion of Jesus. That is why many of us today cannot understand, do not get healing, because we are being tempted by the devil. The devil's, this thing is always doubt. He puts a doubt. Do you think this will happen? Do you think God will take care of you when you are so much sinning? You are against God, man. You know, so you think he's going to put this thing. But Jesus promises. Jesus said, I've not come for the good. I've come for those who are sick. I've come for those who are sinful. He should not sit with good people. He should sit with sinners. Yeah, he chose, whom did he choose? He chose bad people. People who are, Luke was Matthew was a tax collector. Luke was a physician. Okay, he chose that guy on the tree. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. He left all the people. And he chose Zacchaeus to enter Zacchaeus' house. The person who was robbing and this thing. And look at the penetrable Jesus. One time Jesus enters your heart in whatever state you are, you know. Then your life changes. And that is why Jesus is meant for us, for sinners. The good doesn't want Jesus, but you and I want Jesus because we are sinners. Without Jesus, we cannot do. And these are the attributes of Jesus which give us the strength. Whatever it is, like, you know, do not look at the world. Many people who suffer from depression, especially depression. Depression is a demonic attack. Yeah. And unless that person, it's not easy, because I have suffered for 3 months, it's not easy to get out from it. But if you persist, if you understand who Jesus is, I used to sleep with this Bible in my hand always, and not knowing or not understanding anything of the Bible at that time, because I was in the world. Yeah, but that this Bible, from that time until today, I don't leave it. Because this Bible, without any knowledge of the Bible, when I was just reading it, just to get some sleep, just to get some peace, it helped me. Until today, it's helping me. Jesus is this Bible. He came to me when I was, miserable, and he changed my life, and he has still a long way to go for me, you know. So this is what the hope God gives us. When he gives us all these descriptions, the reason why we take so long to learn Revelation is there is depth in this Revelation. Everything there is depth. Now, and that is why I don't like to skip it up. You know, you have to learn. You have to go. That's where we get a challenge. Believe me, Revelation is a very deadly book when it comes. Wait till it comes slowly. So that is why this build-up is important. So that you will have the courage. Otherwise, tomorrow you'll run away. And run away where? You know, by running away, you are not going to get away from the description given in Revelation. That is the description for those who are going to be till the end. We also could be included. We don't know when the end is going to come. But there are a lot of trials and tribulations which will take place, which nobody can escape. Let this truth, because a lot of preachers tell you, like, you know, give you glory, this thing, like, you know, you have got a life of favor and a life of this and that. True, not doubt, but they never talk about persecution, which is a must in every person's life. If you are a Christ, if you belong to Christ, Christ was persecuted, our leader was persecuted, you think we can be escaped? No, we can't. And that persecution, look at it in beautiful ways, that persecution is so beautiful that we fall in love with Jesus. That persecution is so beautiful that we don't care about our lives. Look at them, all the apostles gave their lives away because they were so much in love with Jesus. They knew it is faster to go be there with Jesus and go fast from here so that you can be with Jesus than to stay here and linger with this bad world life. God doesn't want us to be. God has given us a purpose for each one of us. But we all, we should really understand this fact that every one of us will be persecuted, and persecuted badly. The more you are closer to the Lord, the more. But now take an example. If you are trying to avoid persecution for worldly pleasures, that pleasure will not give you so much satisfaction than that persecution which will give you satisfaction. Believe me, that is good. That is so much of different. The pleasure which you enjoy with the devil will not give you so much of satisfaction than the pain that you enjoy with Jesus. There is tremendous power in that pain, and we are afraid, because the devil makes us afraid. Like, no, don't go into that persecution, very distinct. But people look at the saint's life. People chose persecuted. Some of the nuns, they were so much distinct, they should make whips and hit themselves. They wanted that pain, because in that pain they were getting the power of Jesus. All this, you know, have you heard about this, what do you call that? Stigmatas. Yeah? So many of saints got, including Father Pio. And believe me, that is so painful. That is so painful. You know, if you get that, the stigma. That is, you are really a child of God in that case. No? But it is not easy. The pain what Jesus suffered is shown to these people, these saints. Because they were longing to see. They were longing to ask. See, it is so easy to say, look, Jesus died on the cross. Yeah, but what can we understand the pain that Jesus went by just looking even at the cross? Can we understand the pain? We can't. But when these saints, you know, used to ask God, Lord, God, show me what you have suffered. Show me. I want to see what you have suffered. And God gave them this grace of giving them the stigmata. That is just that's a little of what he has suffered. He didn't give them the beating. He didn't give them the scourging. But this and that is also so painful. But they are blessed. Most of the saints who have got it, stigmata, have asked for it. They asked Jesus to let them realize what their pain is. So now the coming back to this good point is that Jesus has got feet of brass and shining feet of brass. That means he is very strong, he is steadfast, and he is ready. Jesus come, he will come there. He will come there for 100% sure, because he is available for anybody 24/7 who trusts in him and who has faith in him. He has never failed, and he will never fail. That's his promise. And he will kill sin. Now we have been massacred by sin. The same sin that we enjoy for a small thing, that same sin kills us. And when he kills the sin in us, he doesn't kill us, he doesn't disturb us, but he kills that sin in us, because that sin will always disturb us. That sin will never allow us to grow. And that sin destroys our life. It's like it's poison. Slowly, if you don't get rid of it, it will kill you. It will affect your whole body. It's like cancer. So the best thing, if you take it off from the start, you are saved. Okay? Then, where we are? Okay. Now, the next attribute is, his voice was as the sound of many waters. When we were looking at Patmos, we noticed the description was that the sound of the waters was same. It was like the sound of many waters gushing forth together. One description was there, and the second description was there that it looked like the waters looked like a glass with fire inside. There are two descriptions here, and one has come here now, and the second one will come in Revelation later on. That sea there at that place looks like the sound of many waters, okay, and also like a glass slab filled with like with a burning fire, you know. Those are the two descriptions which give. Now, what is this? What is the sound of many waters? The sound of many waters, like, you know, God's when God talks, you cannot mistake that he is God or not. You cannot mistake him. Yeah, they're singing. He is so distinct. Sometimes he talks like, you know, like a very, wherever, like a very rough one. You not mistake it. Sometimes his voice becomes like a small melody, gentle voice. Sometimes if she speaks like a child, he knows where to speak and what occasions to speak in your life. In you yourself, you find out this is. Sometimes he reprimands you. Yeah, he reprimands you. No, you know, this is not right. He has to shout at you sometimes. Sometimes when you are panicking, you are in disturbance, he'll soothe you like a mother soothes a child. Yeah, our God is better than any mother or father in this world. He knows when to reprimand. He knows when to talk to you as a person disturbed. He knows how to talk to you as a child. He'll talk to you as a child as well. You know, so these are the this is our God who shouts at us, who talks to us nicely, gives us hope, and who caresses us like a baby. Okay, so his voice has the sound of many waters, and he has seven stars in his right hand. Who can hold stars in his right hand? Jesus now is holding those stars. So you see, a person, the man whom they crucified on the cross, thinking that he was a weakling. Okay, today he's showing the vision. This is Jesus showing John. He's holding the seven stars in his hand. He's holding the whole universe in his hand. What are we caring about? What are we caring about? God who serves the entire universe, and then what John says, looking at him, I fell down in fear. He fell down, and then what he does, he with his right hand he catches him. With the right hand he holds the stars, but the same right hand he pats him. Fear not, he says, our God, such a great God, and such a love for each you and us. You know, now see, not only us, I'm also in that, but I try at my level best as I know God a little bit better because I'm going through this thing. I really try. Now, job security in this place. It's such an issue at the moment, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, the same fear is for me. But now these things make us alive. This, if our God can hold the stars in the sky, what is a job we are? You know, what is a job? If he closes one, he'll open another one. Today we are workers. Tomorrow he'll make us have our own businesses. Is that not possible with him?
Yes.
Only if you have what you call that confidence in him. Only if you have faith in him.
Yes.
Yeah. So instead of racking our brains and thinking what's going to happen tomorrow, like our brother was saying yesterday, we don't know when that envelope will come. Yeah. Okay, that envelope may be a termination letter of our services, but there will be another envelope besides calling us to the great banquet of the royal priesthood. So if we are stuck in this job, we may not be able to attend that feast. So God knows. The only thing is that without faith we cannot win God's confidence. He's the same. He's like, you know, for example, I'm God, okay, and I'm saying, like, Peter is here sitting in front of me. I know that Peter is getting struggling with his thoughts about job, not thinking what is going to happen. I've got my wife, I've got my children, and their future is there. God is looking at him. God knows his thoughts. But then God sees what is the reaction. If he goes, it's rejected, you know, and this thing, and God says, son, I've created you here. Try and trust me. But in the same, Peter says, no, God, I don't care. I don't care this job you have given me, this job you can take, you'll give me another better job. That father also, you know, is proud. Look at that confidence. Like Jesus says for somebody, I've never seen faith like this. No?
Yes.
Yeah, centurion. I've never seen faith like this in entire of Israel. That's the way. When we do the small things, you know, God is elevated. He doesn't need that elevation. Like you know, we are all parents, no? We are children. Little bit that a child comes, daddy, you're so good. He or she has got some reason for saying that, but still we feel nice. The moment, like, you know, say, daddy, give me something is one way, but daddy is so good, can you give me something? We put an extra measure in that, right or wrong? So the same way God is with us. Yeah? He likes to see us. By we chadaing him, nothing happens great to him. He is the same God, powerful God, he knows that. But when we go and acknowledge who is he, when we say, yes, God, you are so good, you are so discerning, loving, I'm getting this pain, but I don't care, God, because you are the same. If you are suffering from any sickness, Lord, what is this body for you? You can recreate it, no? Huh? What is cancer for you, Lord? If you can hold the seven stars there, you know, your prayer, our prayer should be like that. Lord, if you can hold the seven stars there, can't you hold this cancer cells in your hand and take them off with you? Try talking this type of prayers today to the Lord. And you see the difference. You see the difference. What I will say is, maybe that cancer may not leave you, but then you have got a new vision of life. You don't bother about a cancer. Because you're looking your way, and then whatever the Lord's, because on the day God wants you there, you have to be there. That there is no, as I was telling you last time, these are all vehicles to go there. Yeah? So we should not panic. The more you don't care about the sicknesses or how, any of these things, you have won the battle. Yeah, let cancer hit you, let heart attack hit you, like anything hit you. But at the end of the day, nothing can happen to you without His permission. Nothing can happen to you without His permission. Right? So the faster we learn to trust the Lord, the faster we learn to pray to the Lord in that fashion, in that manner, the better it is for us. It's only for our good. Now, when we praise the Lord, what happens? God doesn't go higher or lower. When we praise the Lord's blessing is such that that praises makes us elevate. That those praises elevates us. See, God, even in that praise that we give Him, He is giving us back immediately. You see, when you start praising the Lord, when you start being with the Lord, you feel suddenly after 5 minutes, you don't feel like stopping. What is that? That is God's blessing already returning to you because you have taken that effort to praise the Lord. Sometimes we are not in a mood to pray because something or the other always happens. But in spite of that, give thanks to the Lord in all the situations. So in spite of that, if you start praising and thanking God, you see the difference. All those things go off because God is there. You know, you can literally say God is there at our beck and call 24/7. When we call, He will come. He's there so much. He's such a big God holding the universe. Now we only see our earth, we only see our galaxy. But do you know how many thousands of galaxies are in the earth? Can we imagine that? Yeah, can we imagine who that God is? And we are playing with Him, so we are not respecting Him. One of the best things to really know Him is pray for the fear of the Lord. Pray for the fear of the Lord. That means we should be afraid of Him. Why? What is He and what is we? You know, and we are take an example. A small ant is trying to act funny with us. It's just an example. He's trying, and what to kill this ant, small ant? No, we are tolerating it. But this guy is thinking, I don't listen. This guy cannot do anything to me. That is still not a good example. But we are much more in vast difference between him. Let me just literally see a small ant trying to play with you, trying to make you a fool. Yeah. But we are just excusing him because what is small ant? What, one stamp and he's gone. But this is the way our relationship with the Lord, when we don't know who is. But suppose the same ant says, wow, look at this man. I wish I was a man. I wish I was saying. It's a different thing altogether. So that's why God is merciful. God is loving, but we have to give Him His respect. Okay. Now, the next one is, there was coming forth from His mouth a sharp two-edged sword. Now, before I also should think how can Jesus have a long sword like that? How much are you closing His mouth? No, it's not that type of sword. It's a sword, it's a sword like a tongue, it's like a tongue, and it's double-edged. It is powerful. He can penetrate with that sword. He can penetrate your heart. That is why what the word of God is. It is a double-edged sword, which can kill you. We can go into your marrow as well. That fine. That means that is what when Jesus talks with authority, it is authority. Don't play with it. When He says no, when He says come, the more you grow closer to the Lord, you cannot have your old habits. You will be tolerated when you are spiritually less growing. You will be tolerated with much nonsense. But as you grow closer, your nonsense should be less and your... So when you are growing closer to the Lord, if you do some nonsense, then God says, stop it now. So He'll put an end to it. He'll give you... Because whenever we do wrong things, if only in the discipline, like suppose I have committed a sin now today. I've committed a sin. Now in the discipline, none of you know that I have committed a sin. It was a quiet sin I did, and this thing. But in the spiritual realm, my sin has disturbed a lot of people. My sin has disturbed because we are all spiritually. We have to see that part of it. When we ask anybody or find from anybody, when we sin, you'll say, I'm sinning in my own place. I've not hurt anybody. Look at that sin. Like, ask God to show you that. That any sin that is committed affects nature. Affects people, affects the spiritual world. Spiritual world. A lot of things are happening because in the spiritual world, the war is going on. Can we see the devil? Can we see God? No. But we know that the devil and God are fighting with each other there. Now, the moment he entices me, I sin. What the devil is showing his finger thumbs up to the Lord. See, I made devil sin. And what God is doing? He's sad. Because my creation has given into Him. Look at always when we, before we come into the sinful part, look at it in that way. Look at it in the spiritual realm. What we are doing to God? We are literally putting Him down. And this is not a joke, this is not a thing. We don't understand, like, you know, nobody knows, but God knows. They see the battle there. The devil and God are together always. And he said, look, look, look at my, your servant, no? He's teaching people, no? Look at what he's doing.
Sir, may I just if anyone read yesterday's newspaper, one of the first pages, if you see in the front page, you will see a couple living in Russia has killed 30 people and they are considered as cannibals. 30 lives. I mean, what is it? And they have found young couple to live a life, to live on the human lives. I mean, can you just have one life? And you can, I mean, can you sleep that night? What is it? No human can imagine. So see this, the power of the Satan who is trying to destroy what God has created. I mean, see the power. It's like it is no man. It's, and I wanted to bring the newspaper. I mean, this is something.
And if they have termed it cannibals, then what they must be killing and eating also.
And cannibals, they are not even cannibals. They are not even considered. There are cannibals earlier in the but these are not. This is a normal couple.
Yeah.
And in Russia, and they have acknowledged. And if you see his face, the boy, you see the paper. I have it. Looks just like Putin.
Like whom?
Putin.
Recently,
yesterday,
in Bombay also, in India also, something happened. The son was angry with his mom. He came, he stabbed her. Okay, removed her heart and ate her heart. A son eating heart of his mother. You came in newspaper. So what is that?
Now, who do you think is affecting these people? It's the devil one. It's the devil. And like, you know, thank God for somebody who has prayed for us that we are still like this, and thank God that our prayers continue for our children.
Yes.
That is why they are saved. We are saved. Others, we have got the same potential to do all these things. If we are allow ourselves to the devil, we can do that same thing. We can be cannibals. Tomorrow I can kill and eat. It's not an impossibility. But what saves us is our relationship with the God, and those our generations have been praying, and that is the. That is the thing which we give, and we surround it with our children. Tomorrow we'll go on, and they move it. That's the thing, because the world is an evil one. Evil one. You can do a you and I.
We just wanted to say, talking about this, I was told that, you know, we should always pray for our seventh generation.
Yes.
Because, you know, generation before us and all that, a lot of sins have been committed, and that may also affect.
Yes.
The seventh generation is
I think
we should
place. Yes. That's right, yeah. You have to pray for seven generations, because seven is the complete number, no? You have to pray for seven generations always. Yes. Yes. So, now see, you know, there's another way of looking at it. How many years now we are working. Our bank balances must be just moderate, right? But every Hail Mary you say goes into our spiritual bank balance for our generations. You must also let us be selfish also in prayer. Like, you know, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray now. Because I know that our bank account there, which our children can use from, will be filled. Every time you pray, your account is being filled. Every time you pay, our bankers rob us. You know, they don't give us the proper this thing, but our God, they never robs us. It is always there, and for our children, generations to use. That is exactly the prayer, the meaning of this prayer. You know, it's always in the bank account. Our forefathers have left. God knows how many generations has left for us, and we are still moving in that. Money bank balance may not be much, but spiritual bank balance is plenty, and that is what He keeps us going. Yeah, that is what keeps us going. What can money do? Money is necessary, but what can money do? If I have cancer, I've got all the money in the world. It's not curable. So is your money any valid? But if I have got no money, and I just go to Jesus and I surrender myself to this, the cancer can be cured without any money. That is our God. Okay. So His word is a double-edged sword. That is why we have to be so particular in reading the Bible. Okay? Because whenever we read the Bible, no, it convicts us. See, he's not telling us this, but immediately the Holy Spirit tells you, see, you have done this. No, it's not correct. Yeah, he convicts us. He doesn't accuse us. The devil accuses us. But he never accuses. You will come into that that portion later on, so when the devil is put into that pit. You know, Jesus is so happy. Why? He said the accuser. Every day. Now, try to take an example. God loves us so much. You know, I'm just saying an example. That perhaps one day, like, you know, if I'm sinning, he said, let it be. He's just saying, I'll not notice it. Yes, sin is sinning, but he will not notice it. But what, even if God wants to turn a blind eye to my sin, like the devil is saying, see what he's doing. He is an accuser day and night, see what he's doing. So what can God do? He's a just God, right? He has to take action. Why? Not because he's a merciless God. He wants to save you. But this man is telling him, no? That he has to show that he's just. That is one reason you must always say. The devil entices you to sin and the devil accuses you. He shows your God. See, you'll get it in this thing. When the devil is put in the pit, Jesus said, see the accuser. The accuser who's day and night accusing people with God is put down. So you see how dangerous that devil is. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. After Jesus, no, the devil is the most powerful. You know that? After Jesus, you never play with the devil. The moment he gets one foothold in your life, he's killed you. And at first, you know, that scripture, no, 10-10. 10-10. Yeah. John 10-10, no? I've come to give you life and life in its abundance. That, you know, he says also, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I should not take it so thing as to kill and what, like, you know, but no, the devil actually kills. If you're not careful, the devil kills. He comes to kill, steal whatever you have got, and destroy your people. Destroy everything. That is his motive. Yeah? And God, because God is there, and God, that is why we should always pray. Lord, create a hedge of protection around us. Create that he may not be able to penetrate. Pray that, create your hedge of protection around our children on a daily basis. You know, because we don't know, like, you know, where they are going, what they are doing. So the Lord's grace will protect us from falling too far. We as parents should ask God for this creation, for this protection for all our children. You know, now my mom is so old today, but she's still praying today. She's still praying. She cannot do without praying. That is the thing, and that is why we are here. We are moving about only by the grace of God, and by the prayers of our people. Then see the next one. His face was as the sun shining in its strength. Okay. His face was like the sun shining in his strength. Now, once again, John is quoting Judges 5:31. What it says in Judges 5:31, the enemies of God shall perish, but the friends will be like the sun as he rises in his might. See, even God, if you are in love with God and God in favor of God, God hates your enemies also. He will punish your enemies and he told Abraham that. Right? What is the Abrahamic blessing? Right. That's the Abrahamic blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. The same. The same blessing is for us. We are the generation of Abraham, because Abraham is the father of the faith. We are still the generation of Abraham. That same rule applies to us today. If anybody troubles you, God will take revenge. He'll never allow a person who is His to be troubled. That is why, many a times, you got to pray. You know, when you know God, you know, and somebody is troubling you, you know God is going to take revenge on this person, right? But you said, God, please forgive him. Don't take revenge. Have mercy. God likes that. God likes that. And once you know God, you will not ask anybody to get to punish. No, you know God is a merciful God. Lord, instead of punishing him, just change his life, change his heart. How beautiful the world will be. Instead of we taking grudges on people, but at the same time, like, you know, we say, Lord, Father, forgive them. No, but how Jesus said, forgive them, but they do not know what to do. If we are Jesus' people, we are supposed to say these words on a regular basis. Father, forgive them. For we don't know. They don't know what they are doing. But what we say, Father, look at that person. I need you to show him what you are. This is our prayer.
Yesterday I saw that on Facebook something called Holocaust, wherein one lady was lady whose name is Ravindi now. Yeah, her testimony was given. The house, Shivalal Twins, she and her twins in 1944, they were captured by the Nazis. They were 6 years old. And immediately the parents were executed. And they too were taken into custody for practicals, the Dr. Mullin something. That's the torture which they went through. Yeah. Then we were 6 years and we were like, they were doing some practical, so we kept naked for 8 hours. Yeah, and every part of the body would be measured. And then five injections would be put in right hand and left hand there to remove blood. Yeah, I was seriously ill. And doctor said 2 days enough for the, and my other sister was kept in another room. And they both survived actually. And then her testimony was like, my sister died in 93. And she said, she has written from one of the doctors over there. And she said, after taking that, I felt somewhere, okay, I should forgive him. I should write a letter of forgiveness to him. She was a Jewish. Okay? And she wrote a letter. She said, it took me 4 days to write that letter. But my English was not that good. So I went to my English teacher, who was my teacher. And she read it out, and once, like 3-4 days she was threatening me. And then one day she only told me, you have forgiven this person who used to give poison, and after everybody kills, he has to give the death certificate. Like 300 people were kept in one room, poison gases were left, all used to die, after dying he used to open, and he used to get one death certificate. Okay. And she said, hey, when you have forgiven this person, why don't you forgive that person? She said, how can I forgive that person? The main doctor, Dr. Mullin, something. She said, once you go back home, consider he's there standing in front of you. Okay? And then forgive him. And she says, hey, I went back home, I took my English dictionary, I wrote 20 bad words, disturbed words from that dictionary. I saw him in front of me. I gave him that all 20 words and then I said, I forgive you. I said, there's power in forgiveness, yes. There's huge power in forgiveness. Yes. And now I feel like I'm on the top of the world.
Correct.
So, and she says, hey, that the brutal we went through those days, okay, my parents within 5 minutes were taken in front of me, my relatives, my siblings were also taken away only because we were twins. They were taken into custody for practical things like that. And then everything was destroyed in 5 minutes. And still, if you have that power to give, you feel...
Something like that, yeah, exactly.
But like Tom also. Today's word, I mean, he's writing, saying, these are types of one. I pray for those. And we have something to see.
Yes.
And yet, we are not able to.
Modern day miracles, no? Modern day, how God still works. God still works. Okay, so his face was, 5 minutes more, no?
Yeah, yes.
His face was like the sun shining in his strength, okay? Now, John is having this vision, right? And John saw Jesus on the transfiguration. There also his face was shining. Yeah. If nobody can see Jesus at his face level, right? He's so powerful, he's so energetic, he's so great, he's undescribable. And immediately, they fell on his feet, and then immediately everything turned back, and he said, do not be afraid. And like, you know, Peter in his whole big loud mountain, Lord, we'll build three tents for you. He didn't know what he's saying. He's drowsy as ever. And he said, don't worry, let us go down now. You know, so the same thing John is remembering, because John saw him. He was one of the persons. He's still remembering his face was as the sun shining in its strength. So Jesus is our strength once again. Once again is our strength. All these attributes we bundle together. Can we ever, be little Jesus? Can we say, who is Jesus? Or can we run away from Jesus? These are all attributes which tells, come on, I'm going to Jesus today. I'm going to go nearer to him today. And I'm going to be with him. I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to tell him how great thou art. And this is what Jesus is. And the more, as we said, the more you interact with Jesus, our life will never be the same again. And then it says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Yeah? When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead. The moment you encounter Jesus, you know, you will know what your worth is. Yeah, now we are sometimes we are boasting about our degree, our post in this thing. But the moment you encounter that Jesus, you know, your post is also not nowhere. Your you know, intellect is nowhere. Nothing is ever. There was an incident when Peter and all the fisher folks, they fished whole night and they didn't get anything. And then Jesus tells them, put your net again. And Peter puts his net again. He said, Lord, we worked whole night, nothing is there. You put your net again. And then, you know the thing, the nets were tearing. Peter said, told Jesus, he fell at his feet and said, Lord, get away from me. I'm a sinner. He came to know. Whole night, they are experts of the sea. They know that definitely there's no sea, there's no fish. They have spent the whole night there. They're fishing for all this. And this man is just coming to put your necks. So who is he? And we are afraid. We are afraid of little things. These are the eye openers that we should be saying. He could do that for Peter, why can't he do it for us? We may not be fishing today, but we may be having our jobs as a fish net. And he can break our nets with so many jobs. If you will not be able to cope up, yeah. The currency that time was fish. The currency today is notes. Yeah. Even after demonetization, the notes are there. Okay. So you can fill our nets with notes from nowhere. When he wanted to pay tax, we should try it next time. He said, go to the fish and open his mouth. You'll find a dinner. Next time you are falling short of paying tax, go do that same thing what Jesus did. Lord, I trust in you. No, I mean it's not a laughing matter. He can do anything. He can do anything.
Moses is also another example.
Yes.
He was scared to go to Pharaoh.
Yes.
God, he encountered him. He go to Pharaoh. Yes. And, you know,
he was scared.
He said, "Don't worry. When you go there, all will be so."
Yes. So all these examples, you know, and we are still. We should be actually with all these things in our eyes, ammunition, we should be climbing out on those mountains and say, shouting from there, you know, only God is Jesus. We should be that thrilled. You know, it doesn't matter if an AK-47 hits us and goes, no problem, but we proclaim God is our God.
See, it's wrong. What is it? It's because people are crying out. And the best thing God has given us is we can pray. I mean, for, okay, Peter doesn't like me, okay? What am I doing? Peter's not like me. I can pray to God, change Peter's heart.
Yes.
Done. I mean, we can love, we don't have to hate anybody. Because, and one more thing, brother and sister, very important to know, sorry to interrupt, that when we say that he is rebuked to Satan, we are not, you know what Jesus said? Peter, stay away. Stay away from. He loves Peter, but he doesn't love the evil spirit trying to take control. See?
Yes.
So what is Satan is the evil spirit. It's the evil spirit that is taking control of our lives. So it's, sometimes we think, oh, Satan is my enemy. No, so people who are not in the religion, the Catholics may not understand. But we are all brothers and sisters, irrespective of any caste, creed and nationality. But if we only know what God is saying is rebuke, because that evil spirit, it's only we need only Holy Spirit. Our bodies belong to the temple of the Holy Spirit. The evil spirit is trying to destroy. You are at peace, enjoying something, suddenly you get some bad news, suddenly you get a blessed. So everything God wants us to be enjoying, the evil tries to come in through a friend, through a colleague, through a community, through a family. I mean, you love your family and suddenly you will see, oh, your child is troubling you. Even will try to destroy your peace. But God said, no, I am your peace. I am the Prince of Peace. Just claim it.
Yes. What sister is saying is a good point. I'll take example. This brother of mine has done something wrong to me. Okay, and I am very against this brother. Now, it is not he who did wrong to me. It is the devil in him who used him to do wrong to me. Now, I'm just accusing him because I don't know what God tells us. But if I know what God is, I'll say, Lord, touch Peter. Take away that demon that is in him. You know?
Yes.
And then your whole thing, your perspective changes. But now what we do? Look at that man. No, he has done this to me. It's not you. It's not him. If we understand this fact, we will not have grudges on people. You know, it's the devil in that person. That, the same thing happened to me. I might be tormenting somebody else. It's not me. It's the devil. I've allowed the devil to torment you. And the moment you understand this secret, no, you are victory in yours.
Police spirit
takes control.
Yeah. We make everyone happy.
Oh,
love everyone.
Yes. I think it's time up, no?
Yes.
So we.
Sorry,
no, no, no. It's a. Sweet loving Father, here we are, thanking you for all that you have taught us this evening, Lord. Especially, Lord, how the devil attacks, Lord, and what is our way of rebuking the devil, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for showing us, Lord God, your attributes, Lord, that we so many times we just ignore, Lord. We just know you as Jesus, we just know you as God, but we don't know, we fail to realize or to accept or to understand your internal attributes, Lord. How great thou art and how little we are, Lord. If we only understood this, Lord God, we would be a different person. But tonight, this evening, Lord, right now, as we leave this place, Holy Spirit, work in us for the next 2 weeks, Lord. Work in us. Bring this to reality. You have taught us the word, Lord. Now bring it to reality, Lord. Lord, you have showed us so many instances today, Lord God. Help us not to accuse our friends, our brothers and sisters, Lord God, who hurt us in some way or the other. Help us to realize that it is not them, but the devil in them that are doing it. And help us to pray for them so that the devil, God, can take the devil off from them. Lord, in the same way, if we have enticed the devil in our lives, and we are troubling, knowingly or unknowingly, somebody, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that you forgive us and you take out the demons that are existing in us, Lord. Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, let us bring all your attributes, Lord God, in our mind. The bronze feet, Lord God, the strength that you have with us, Lord. The shining armor, Lord God, the speed that you have got with us, Lord God. Your tongue, Lord, it is so powerful, Lord God. Your eyes, Lord God, that can penetrate, Lord God. Your heart, Lord God. Everything, Lord God, is so beautiful, Lord God, to know that we belong to a God who is so marvelous, Lord God. And Lord, as you know, Lord, as we know, Lord God, that only hearing the word doesn't help, but doing the word helps, Lord God. So give us the grace, the Holy Spirit, to put into action whatever you have taught us, Lord. And Lord, once again, as our team goes to the hospitals, Lord, let your word, Lord, let this word that they listen, Lord God, go and multiply, Lord God, among the patients, Lord God. Let them also understand, Lord, who you are, Lord God. What is your power, O Lord God? What you can do, O Lord God? You are the God who holds the seven stars, O God. So these patients are nothing, Lord, for you. Nothing, O Lord God. One glance, Lord God, can heal them, Lord God. And we, Lord, as your ministers, Lord God, they are moving to the hospital, Lord God. Lord, let your word penetrate. Let your word penetrate these patients, Lord, and not only heal them physically, but heal them spiritually, Lord God, so that they can be a testimony for all those whom they meet, Lord God. And for the rest of us, Lord God, as we travel, bless our vehicles, Lord. Keep us free from accidents, Lord. And bless us with a renewed life, Lord God. Help us to put into practice whatever you teach us, Lord God. Only then life will be meaningful. Only then life will be challenging, Lord God. We will be able to face the challenges of this world, Lord. And only then, Lord God, we will understand the mystery of life, Lord God. Thank you once again, Mother Mary, for always being with us and guiding us. Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord.
And all God's children agree and say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, dear brothers and sisters.
Thank you.
Next week is first Friday, so we don't meet. We meet on the second Friday of next month. God bless. Is this stopped or not? We have of our prayer group, you know, and we have a lot of things are there, so you can just go there and check on it.
Ladies working, they are hungry. Don't have to
not getting saved.
No, it's not stopping. Ah, okay. Wrong brother. Oh, yeah, brother. Okay. I'm pressing the wrong one.
Going off.
Holy Spirit English Prayer Group,
okay.
Oman.
Okay.
www. Holy Spirit English Prayer Group, Oman.
Okay.
And then
that's
you.
It.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
I just
you, Sister Lina.
Yeah, I know.
Like a magnet, you know. You all pull, like, even if you don't want it, pull.
So it's all the Holy Spirit, brother. You know, we just I just keep myself in prayer. If without him, we cannot do anything.
What, brother? What do you do now?
Well,